When the word drone is kicked around, most of us think of the military, perhaps an anti-terrorist operation, or perhaps we worry about government or military snooping. But there are those who see a wealth of ways drones could help us and boost the economy. And they see Michigan as being a key player in the future of drones. Aaron Cook's one of those drone visionaries. Aaron's the director of aviation at Northwestern Michigan College. So good to have you with us, Aaron.
Good to be here. Thanks for the call.
Do you agree the public perception of drones is something that is somewhat sinister, military spying and the like?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even the term drone is in itself a little bit of that. That certainly doesn't help. But there's certainly, to a certain extent, a misconception of what these vehicles really are and what they can do and the benefits that can be gained from them outside of the military activity.
In fact, I must admit, very few of us ever think of them as unmanned aerial systems, but that's officially what the term would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's really what the industry recognizes them to be, the FAA and the militaries. You know, we look at them as a something more than a drone, and in fact, drones actually really came from targeting drones back from some of the older wars, particularly World War II and others. And so really the term drone isn't even accurate into really what we're talking about here.
Seeing a story that we uncovered, the fact that BP has become the first to win approval to fly commercial drones over U.S. soil, they're going to be they got a permission from the FAA to use this technology to go over roads and pipelines and equipment in Alaska. When I read that, I got to thinking this really does open the door to these kind of commercial uses that you see for these drones.
Right. So, you know, when people understand what they are, what they aren't, what they can do and their capabilities, and you really let your mind kind of wander a little bit, you can think of all kinds of things that you can use these for. And it really gets interesting when you look at the business opportunities, the safety opportunities, and really the opportunity to increase quality of life and to be more productive.
Then let's go right back to what you said. Circle back. What they are and what they aren't. Begin with what they are.
Well, what they are is essentially a flying robot. You know, we're used to seeing Google talking about driverless cars or using a tractor now in the fields that basically you push a button and the operator just kind of sits there and watches. It really doesn't do anything. We're basically taking that technology, the autopilot system technology of aircraft that are flying today when they fly to Florida on vacation. You're taking all that technology and putting them into a device that doesn't then require a person to be on board. You know, there's still people on the ground. It is still very much a person there operating the device, but they're just not sitting on it. They're on the ground using some of our latest technology with communication links, with GPS, to operate that aircraft.
And what they aren't?
Well, what they aren't is they're not, you know, here in the U.S., they're not armed. You know, they're not flying around waiting for somebody to do something that maybe the police department doesn't like. You know, they're not. You know, people are really concerned about privacy, of course. And the reality is if somebody wanted to see in your backyard, you know, they could put a camera above your fence line or, you know, satellite technology. And we're flying cameras on manned aircraft right now. And so they aren't necessarily, well, they aren't there to invade people's privacy. They're there really to provide a different way of doing some of the same tasks that are being done today. You know, we talked about BP and power line and pipeline patrols and things like that. Currently, there are aircraft flying helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft to monitor pipelines. And, of course, they're flying past people's backyards and things like that, and nobody really has any concern over that. The hope is that you can do the same thing with UAVs in a larger scale than just what we're seeing up in Alaska. Interesting story. We obviously insure our aircraft that we fly here with the students, and surprisingly enough, our insurance company talked about how powerline and pipeline aircraft, those aircraft flying to inspect these infrastructures, actually scare livestock, and livestock end up trampling themselves and they have claims on livestock. If you're flying a small aircraft, you don't have those issues. You don't have the noise. You don't have the level of intensity that you get from some of the other aircraft that are larger. And so that's something that is a neat opportunity that's different than what we're doing now.
I can also imagine in agriculture and forestry, there could be such a many uses, and it would hit me that this would really be important in Michigan.
Exactly. So we're actually doing some projects. We fly and do some projects over some agriculture with regard to like corn crops and soybeans, but we also fly over some orchards. And really, it's the biggest win that you can have out there in the sense that you can scan these fields and you can see where am I lacking water. Where am I lacking fertilizer? Where am I seeing some bug infestation or weed infestation? And particularly when you look at those cost things, water and fertilizer, you can apply your resources selectively where they're needed, and so you save expense. In addition, if we're putting down less fertilizer, we got less runoff and less problems with our water systems.
You could be very surgical in the way you apply it.
Exactly. And so we're saving money by doing that, saving resources for the farmer. But then what you're doing is you're increasing your yields as well by keeping some of those invasive species and bugs and things like that out. And we all know that, you know, with all the people on the planet, we got to have to do better with our food resources. So that's really a big win. And in fact, a lot of the industry believes that about 80% of the unmanned system activity will actually be in agriculture.
I would also suspect we talked about inspecting infrastructure the way BP's going to just got permission to do this from the FAA to do this in Alaska. I would suspect checking bridges and highways and overall infrastructure, building conditions, it could be very useful, very, very easy to do and very cheap.
Right. So looking at a windmill, you know, right now you have somebody that actually goes to the base and climbs up the tower and actually goes out on the hub and gets on a rope and rappels down the blades. Not only is it a bit dangerous, but it also takes time. And so to do that is about an hour and a half, and to send a small quad rotor up there, a little battery-powered quad rotor, you can do it in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
So your productivity can be much higher. The other thing, you know, like a bridge, all this data can be stored. And so if you're looking at a bridge, and let's say your bridge is supposed to last you 25 years or more, and you're inspecting it every other year or so, you can store that data. And so you can start to really do a better job with asset management and predictive reliability mm-hmm. of that bridge and compare, is this really going to last me my 25 years, or is it going to be more like 15 years or 40 years? One of the issues is we have 800,000 bridges in the U.S., and they're supposed to be inspected on a regular basis, and they're not meeting their regulatory requirements, primarily because of just the resources to be able to do that. The other benefit by having an unmanned system do it is you're not closing lanes down while you've got a bucket truck there hanging somebody over the side, and so you're able to get your community members to work, and you're able to stay productive, and you don't have that loss of revenues by having people stuck in traffic.
And we circle right back to the safety. You don't have somebody hanging off the side of a bridge as well. So again,
exactly.
the human factor. Aaron, the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International put out a report predicting that drones will have created 100,000 jobs and be worth $82 billion to the U.S. by 2025. And here in Michigan, creating 1,000 jobs and be worth $188 million. Could that even be bigger for Michigan?
I think it could be. When I first saw that report, I thought it was a little bit undervalued in Michigan. And I think to a certain extent, Michigan's a little bit of an unknown in that it's a very diverse state in what we have, not only from the four seasons, but the industries that we have, and then, of course, the water that we have here. And then, you know, the talent from the engineering side, from the east, southeast part of the state. So I think it could certainly be higher than that. And it's really an opportunity for Michigan to take advantage of. It's a relatively new industry. It's in its infancy, and there's a lot of opportunity there.
Aaron Cook is Director of Aviation at Northwestern Michigan College. Aaron, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.